Well, welcome to the ABCs of Christian Growth. This is Brother Thurman again, and we are still working on our subject of assurance of salvation, the letter A, a subject that's very important in the Christian's life and something that you need to know what the answers are and what the Bible says concerning the assurance of your salvation. Does God want you to have assurance of your salvation? There's a lot of preachers and a lot of people that are teaching that the assurance of salvation is not possible. Is that what the Bible says? Is that what the Bible teaches? So what we're going to do is find out what the Bible says. Now, thank you for listening in on the past recordings, if you've been following these recordings, and I recommend that you do. Everybody needs this. That's why it's called the ABCs of Christian Growth. These are things that Christians are not being taught that they need in their life. The Lord doesn't expect us to just get saved and then know absolutely nothing about the Lord. The Lord expects us to, after salvation, that we grow. And it's hard to find a good Bible-believing church that's teaching the Word of God nowadays. And if you find one, then you're very fortunate, and you should stay in it, and you should admire your pastor, and you should sit under his teaching, as long as he's teaching the Word of God as truth. And that is it is indeed the Word of God. And that education and scholarship and all of that, it does not go above the Word of God. The Word of God is doctrine, and it is the final authority. Okay, we've talked about the assurance of salvation in the past. What is meant by the assurance of salvation? Remember that. And what do I need? Why do I need the assurance of salvation? Well, the assurance of salvation brings joy. It brings confidence before God. It brings comfort of heart, remember. And it also makes us stable in our Christian walk. And it enables us to overcome the world, remember. What is the basis of our assurance of salvation? What do we base the assurance of our salvation? When somebody asks you, are you going to heaven? You say, absolutely. What do you base that on? Well, we base it on the Word of God, but in the Word of God, there are some particulars and some doctrinal truths that teach us that we are going to heaven and that we can have the assurance. And some of those we talked about was the very person of God himself. Remember that? That God cannot lie. If God says something, it's going to come to pass, and it's never been proven that anything that God said has not come to pass. As a matter of fact, if you went by historical facts and historical matters, you would find that just everything in history has come to pass exactly like the Lord said it would, and the Word of God, and still is, as a matter of fact, and will in the future. The prophecies that have not been fulfilled yet will come to pass. We that know the Lord don't have any problem believing that God's Word's going to come to pass. It's only the mockers and the scoffers and all the little people that toy around with religion, and they have absolutely no idea what they believe anyway and don't care. And they just want to make a mess of anything that they can having to do with Christianity. Just like the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all them did when Jesus was physically here. The promises of God. The very promises of God is the basis of the assurance of our salvation. Remember? The presence of God in our life. If you're saved, you have God the Holy Ghost dwelling in you, and you are able to testify of the very presence of the Holy Ghost living in you, and he bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. And the Lord has done things for you that you can stand up and testify that others can't. And the very presence of God in our life. You can't deny what God has done for you, that you know what he has done for you. Continue to give him glory for that, and continue to believe it, and to base your assurance of your salvation and what God has said on the very presence of God. These are things that we know. Now, how may I know that I'm saved? Remember that? I know I'm saved because I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and I hath the Son. I know I'm saved because I have a love for the brethren. I know I'm saved because I want to keep God's commandments. I didn't used to want to have it, and I didn't have anything to do with God. Wasn't thinking about God, wasn't interested in God. But after I got saved, and the Lord saved me, and God the Holy Ghost lives in me, I have different desires now. I have different want-tos. And I know I'm saved because I'm overcoming the world. And we went through several of those things, remember? And today, we're going to move right on in and talk about what brings assurance of salvation in my life and try to learn some of that. You know, it is possible that in your Christian walk, and not only possible, but factual, that you're going to have doubts from time to time. You're going to have doubts because the world is going to provoke doubts. The world system and the world, this evil present world that we live in, is going to try to steal your devotion and your allegiance and your love from the Lord Jesus Christ and from that Word, from God's Word. It's going to try to steal it. The devil's going to try to take it from you. And we already talked about that. The Bible says in John 8:44, remember, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he's a liar and the father of it. Those are the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what he had to say about Satan, that he's a liar and he's a father of it. And when he hit, there's it's not possible for him to speak the truth. So anytime he or his devils that are on his side come and try to mess with us, they're not ever telling us the truth. You have no reason to ever consider that they're trying to help you or tell you the truth. They're lying to you. And in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, the Bible said, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? He questioned. The very first recorded words in the Bible were casting doubt upon God's words, you see. So what brings assurance in our salvation into my life? Are there things that can help me? Well, yes, there are. Let's look at some of them. The first thing is to learn the Word of God. Learn the Word of God, and that will bring assurance into your life. It will manufacture, it will strengthen and bring assurance into your heart and into your mind and your thinking and into your belief system. Your salvation is based upon what God has said, not upon how you think or how you feel. And it's important for you to read and study the Word of God. God told us in His Word that it's important for us to do that. It's not something that you wait to happen. It's something that you make happen. If you're going to study the Word of God at all, you're going to do it on purpose. There isn't a time that you're ever going to sit down that will get more enjoyable, and the more you read, the more you'll find how rewarding it is and how much God blesses you for reading His Word and the benefits of it. But there's never going to be a time that you're going to sit down. I say never, but what I mean is, the majority of the time that you sit down, it's going to be because you have to, because there's going to be plenty of reasons that are going to be offered to you by the world, the flesh, and the devil, and everything else that hates God and hates His Word. It's going to try to keep you and keep you from being in the Word of God or around the Word of God. And just give it a try sometime and watch how many hurdles try to jump in the way. The doorbell will ring, the phone will ring, this will happen, that will happen, and things will come to your mind of what you've got to do. I mean, just all kinds of things. It's not accidental, it's spiritual warfare. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 and 15, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. When we learn the Word of God, it teaches us about our God, and it teaches us about His thinking and His will, and it helps us and molds us into the person of Jesus Christ. He makes, you're going to love, when you get in the Word of God and you start becoming that person that Jesus Christ, that the Lord is turning you into, He's making you into the image of Jesus Christ. And when you start figuring out that you're turning into the image of Jesus Christ, you're going to start loving that person and desiring to be that person and even asking the Lord to change you. So, learning the Word of God is what brings assurance of salvation in our lives. Another thing that brings assurance of salvation into our life is to thank God for His gift of salvation. Do you thank Him for your salvation? The Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You have received a gift of salvation. Have you thanked God for this gift yet? Thanksgiving is evidence of faith. Did you know that? 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15 says, thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift. For His unspeakable gift. Another way of bringing assurance of salvation into our life is making a public testimony before others. Excuse me. Making a public testimony before others. Have you told someone that you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ? You're told somebody about your relationship and confessing Christ and the assurance of salvation that you have? The Bible says, listen to this. I'm sorry for the coughing. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You wouldn't have any problem if somebody walked up and handed you $1 million and told you that it was a gift, and here you go, and give it to you, and you appreciate it and everything. Yes, you'd probably mention his name several times in the remaining part of your life, wouldn't you? Because of your appreciation of his gift. The Lord has given you much more than that. He's given you eternal life, given you peace, and giving you all kinds of rewards and an inheritance, and everything gets better from here. So we should make public testimony and not be ashamed of the Lord. The Bible says, for the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. Shall not be ashamed. One way that you can confess Christ publicly is to come forward in the invitation time in your church and tell the people that you have been born again and that you're not ashamed of the Lord and not ashamed of being affiliated with Him, and make yourself that you associate yourself with Jesus Christ and unashamedly. Another way, thing that brings assurance of salvation into our life is to attend church services as much as possible. Now, it's easier said than done, considering the Laodicean era that we're in now. Nevertheless, not impossible. There are places that you can go and that you can serve the Lord and that you can be fed from the Word of God. But you have to be very careful and to watch and make sure that you're not being drained and taught something false and led astray. It is the Word of God where you put your faith. We follow what the book says. and what the Lord Jesus Christ says in His Word. And if you can get preaching and get good Bible teaching, I'm not talking about these theatrical plays that are put on every Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and Wednesday evening, and all this stuff. I'm talking about some sincere unity and sincerity and truth and the teaching of the Word of God. God the Holy Ghost will testify to you whether or not that's true teaching or not, and you will know in your heart whether it's Bible doctrine. Attend church services as much as possible. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22, the Bible says, "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." Then it tells us, "not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Now, the church is not a building. As a matter of fact, in Acts, in the early church, there was no such thing as a building. They met in people's houses. And they still do in parts of the country, parts of different countries. And there's no such thing as a local gathering place as far as a building. And most churches in other places other than the United States can't afford a building. They meet in people's houses, and just like the Lord did when He would go to these meetings and things. The synagogues were the Jewish places that they went and met. And but as far as the church, when the church was established, they were meeting in people's houses. And it's not been several hundred years that it actually was going to a church building, but the church is not a building. The church is the body of Christ. The very people. It's an organism. It's not an organization. It's an organism. It's the very people. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost. The temple used to be the tabernacle. Remember when the Jews were traveling through the wilderness and going to the Canaan, and the tabernacle they carried with them until King David built one and put up the stone one. But they had a tent that was a tabernacle, and they worshiped there, and God met with them there. But we don't have to do that in this age. We have God the Holy Ghost living in us, and our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. You knew that already. What brings assurance of salvation into my life? Living a righteous life. Not being a fake. Sometimes a full assurance does not come until God sees that we mean business for Him. Remember that? According to Isaiah chapter 32, verse 17, the Bible says in Isaiah 32, 17, "And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever." Quietness and assurance forever. Peace and assurance is based upon believing God's promises, not your feelings. Not your feelings. Now, there's nothing wrong with feelings, but you don't base the assurance of your salvation upon feelings, because most of the time your feelings are not going to give you a positive outlook when it comes to being saved. It's going to be the Word of God, and basing our beliefs on what God has said. Now, what happens if I sin? What happens if I sin? Well, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 8, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." So, is it possible for Christians to sin? What's the answer, yes or no? Yes. The Bible teaches that it's possible for Christians to sin. Now, when you were born again, your soul was saved. Your body's not saved. Your body's going back to the dirt. It's going back to that old wicked thing, that vile body. All these people putting all these pictures of bodies, women's bodies and men's bodies. And, you know, leave it up to man to take something that the Lord says is vile. You know, after Adam and Eve fell, what was the first thing they was ashamed of? Their bodies. They were ashamed of their bodies. And they didn't know why they were ashamed, but they were ashamed. And what's the first thing the Lord did? Covered them up. These bodies are vile. The Bible says they're vile, and change our vile bodies and fashion like unto His glorious body. Talking about the Lord Jesus Christ's resurrected body. These bodies are nothing to brag about. You can look in the mirror every day and you can see that that thing is turning more vile and more vile every day. It's going back to the dirt and the worms are going to eat it. And the Lord's going to change us one day and give us an eternal body, a resurrected body like unto His glorious body. But leave it to man to put to strip off the clothes and put all the naked vile bodies and worship those and lust after them. Leave it to a wicked man. The Lord said, "And ye being evil." And you say you're not evil. You say man's not evil. Well, he worships vile things, according to the Word of God. He thinks you go down to and run 5 miles a day and eat right and everything else, that makes your body not vile. The Lord said that's a vile thing you're carrying around. It's like the Romans used to do to prisoners when they would kill somebody. They'd take that victim and tie him onto his body where he couldn't get him off, and he'd carry around that dead man on his body all the time, carrying around a dead man. That's what you're doing. You're carrying around a dead man. That is a zombie. It's still alive for a little while, but it's dying every day. And the Bible says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth's not in us. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1, the Bible says, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." So in 1 John 2, 1, does God want a Christian to sin? Yes or no? No, He does not. "My little children, these things I write unto you, that ye sin not." God says, don't sin. But if you sin, and don't say that you're not going to sin, is it possible for Christians to sin? 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 says it is. It says if you say you don't sin, you're a liar. And then in 1 John 2, 1, it says, does God want a Christian to sin? No, He does not want us to sin. He says, if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. The idea is not to sin. And you don't have to sin anymore because you have the victory over that now. If you walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. The Bible says, now what happens if I sin? In 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, you know that verse. If we confess our sins, you have to confess them. You have to tell God what you did, why you did it, and what you meant when you did it, and be in detail with Him about it, and not try to hide it, but confess it to Him. Lord, I did this. I told that stinking lie, and I'm a liar, Lord, and I know I lied when I did it. You know, a lot of times it takes more effort to sit down and tell God the truth about it, which He already knows, to tell God the truth about it than it does to actually confess it. To get your heart to quit lying enough so it'll tell the truth to the Lord to confess the sin that you sinned. If we confess our sins, He, who? The Lord. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You say, I thought I was already forgiven. Well, you are. You are already forgiven as far as the long run goes, as far as your justification and your righteousness. You have the righteousness of Christ on you, but as far as a son and your behavior and your fellowship with the Father, when you sin, that has to be taken care of down here because there's not going to be any in glory. And for you to keep your walk with the Lord and keep your fellowship with the Lord, you're going to have to be honest and sincere with Him about your sin. It says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. As soon as you start confessing your sins and become honest with the Lord and sincere with Him, He forgives that sin and He cleanses you from everything else that you might have as unrighteousness in your life at that moment, and you are cleansed. Then the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Okay. That's the way the Lord operates, and that's the way He put it in the Word of God, and that's a doctrine, and that's the way. I'm glad He provided a way for us to confess our sins to Him instead of a man. You go down to one of those guys wearing a half a grapefruit over his head or whatever, and go in one of those little boxes and telling them your sins. They can't forgive your sins. You walk out of there with just as much guilt on you as you did before, except you're broke now because you had to pay for it. The Lord don't even require you to pay for it. His Son paid for it. All you have to do is confess it and tell Him the truth. And He don't require you to go in front of no sinner to do it. You come before a righteous judge that's faithful and just to forgive your sins if you'll confess them and tell Him the truth. There's people that go 10, 20, and 30 years avoiding the Lord and avoiding confessing and telling the Lord the truth. Lord, I screwed up. I did this and I did that, and it takes somebody 20 years of suffering and being out of fellowship with the Lord to tell the Lord the truth. But once you do, He's faithful and just to forgive you. You could have saved that 20 years of suffering and being out of fellowship with the Lord. And it does matter, and the older you get in the Lord, you're going to find out that it does matter being in or out of fellowship with the Lord. What happens if I sin? 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 again. When I sin, who appears before God the Father in heaven on my behalf? According to the Bible says Jesus Christ the righteous. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Now, he's either there with the Father, and he's advocating for us, or he's not, and the Bible's untrue, and it's a lie. But I know better, because when I go to the Lord and I confess my sin and I tell Him I'm sorry and I meant this and I did this and I'm sorry, Lord, and I try not to do that again, and please help me, and go through telling Him about all that, I walk away with a clear conscience because I've spoken to my Lord about it. And Jesus goes before the Father, and He says, He's one of ours, Lord. Father, He's one of ours, and my blood is paid for Him. You can forgive Him, and you can do it justly, and you can do it righteously, Father. And He's asking forgiveness, and You said that if He confessed it, that You would be faithful and just to forgive it. And the Father says, cleanse him. And you walk away guiltless. You see, no guilt. That's the ticket. Having a clear conscience between you and God and you and men. That's the thing. So when I sin, who appears before God the Father in heaven on my behalf? Jesus Christ does. Jesus Christ, the righteous. Okay, and what happens if I sin? 1 John chapter 1. The Bible says this, My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. But listen to this. It says, If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Isn't that wonderful? What happens if I sin? In your own words, what does the Christian lose if he sins? Listen to this verse again. The Bible says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. According to the Word of God, our final authority, what does God say? In your own words, what does a Christian lose if he sins? He loses fellowship with the Father, doesn't he? And we lose fellowship with one another. And how do we restore that? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The assurance of salvation. Remember? Okay, so what brings assurance of salvation? Learning the Word of God, thanking God for His gift of salvation. I think we went over this, and we're just going over it again. Never hurts to hear it again. Make a public testimony before others. Attend church services as much as possible and live a righteous life. That's what God expects. Now, why wouldn't a holy God expect something like that? Why wouldn't He expect why wouldn't a holy God expect His children, after all He's been through, to cleanse us and to make us righteous? Why wouldn't He expect us to want to be righteous? When you start wanting to be righteous, you're going to start enjoying your Christianity. Even though we're suffering, and even though for the name and for the testimony of the Word of God, which is appointed to us to do right now, until the Lord comes, His yoke is easy and His burden is light. And that's the truth. What happens if I sin? Is it possible for Christians to sin? Yes. Does God want Christians to sin? No. If a Christian sins, what's the one thing we're to do about it? Yes, that's right. Confess it. Okay, and when I sin, who appears before God in heaven on my behalf? The Lord Jesus Christ does. He said He does, and He does. He keeps His word with us. In your own words, what does a Christian lose if he sins? He loses fellowship with his God, our Lord, our wonderful, wonderful Lord. We lose fellowship with Him, and also we lose fellowship with one another. Until we do what? Until we confess it. So we talked about the assurance of salvation and what happens if I sin. We've talked about what brings assurance of salvation in our lives. And when we come back on the next lesson, we'll talk about, can I ever lose my salvation? Is there any way, or does the Word of God talk about losing my salvation in any way? And then we'll talk about six evidences of salvation. What is evidence of salvation? When you look at somebody or you see somebody or hear somebody talk, what is evidence of salvation? Okay, well, it's been good talking to you, and I hope that you are enjoying these and that you're learning. It's wonderful to know the Word of God. And I appreciate you, and I hope that you'll continue to listen in on the ABCs of Christian growth, and we'll learn together. And the simplicity of Christ. God's not trying to trick us. He wants us to know His Word. And isn't that wonderful? So you have a wonderful evening, and may our wonderful Lord bless you. Bye-bye.